It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 381, entitled Fake Cat on a Fishing Rod. Go figure that out. It was recorded on Monday, the 27th of July, 2026. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by Michelle Frechette. I'm also joined by Mark Benzikane and by Zach Stepek. It's a WordPress podcast, but we get derailed, as we always do, initially by AI, later on by AI, and then towards the end again by AI, but we don't stay on AI forever. For example, we look at WordPress 7.1, what is in, what do we think is cool, and what is out. Interestingly, a few things have been dropped from that release. We also talk about some of the new things coming into Gutenberg in the near future, and there has been a sudden and unexpected update to WordPress 7.0.2, and it's very interesting to find out that AI was responsible for that. $25 is all it took for Fable to figure out how to jeopardize just about every WordPress website out there. We also talk about the WPOCC, which used to be the WPCC, but they couldn't use that because there's already a WPCC and there's too many acronym, so we find out about all of that. We also talk about the WP World and some adaptations there to make it easier for you to friend people. And then also, Jamie Marsland has produced a new really interesting editor for Gutenberg, but it's not Gutenberg, it's more like Canva. Anyway, it's very, very beguiling. Performance is under scrutiny, some new WordPress plugins are under scrutiny, and a whole bunch more. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. I don't know if you... I've turned that video off because I don't know if you spotted what was going on there.
30 minutes.
I went to... Yeah, so I put what I thought was going to be a 30-second video on. It was actually 30 minutes. Oh. We would have been here for a full 30 minutes.
I could have made coffee. But...
Yeah, I went to get breakfast.
This show is always entertaining when it starts. So we usually have like my 2-minute video, which is insufferable. We're probably better off kicking that out. But I for some reason it didn't appear in the platform this morning, and so I pressed what I thought was a sort of default 30-second video, but it was 30 minutes long. So apologies, panelists, about that. There was nothing I could do in order to stop that happening. Anyway, here we are. It's This Week in WordPress, number 381. And you can see that I'm joined by three fabulous WordPressy folk. And I was not quite knowing which way to point there. And we'll go around the houses in a second and allow everybody to be introduced and what have you. But I'll just do the usual housekeeping, if that's all right. So the first thing to mention is that depending on how you're watching this, obviously, if you're watching it after the fact, don't write a comment anywhere because it just won't mean anything. But if you are watching us live and you want to make a comment, that's lovely. The only place, though, where it's really useful to us is in YouTube or on the wpbuilds.com webpage. Because a lot of the platforms like LinkedIn and X and all of those, they just don't allow comments to come out into other platforms. And so the best place to go is wpbuilds.com/live, that URL on the screen, wpbuilds.com/live. If you head there, we've got the video running, and then we've got the sort of chat box on the right-hand side. If you want to fill that in, that's great. Or if you don't want to be logged in, there's a live chat widget in the video itself, like top right of the actual video player. You can use that instead, and we'll definitely get both of those. So that's probably the best recommendation. So if you want to mention that out on the Twitters or the Facebooks or whatever it is, that would be great. Thank you. Let's go around the panel and say hi. First person, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to Michelle.
Hi.
How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good, thank you. Actually good. The weather in the UK is fabulous. We don't have any of these like dramatic fires. I don't know what it's like where you are, but in Europe at the minute, we're having what feels like a Californian sort of thing. I think Canada's got a lot of fires at the minute as well, but in Europe and Spain and places, there's 250, quarter of a million people have been evacuated. I mean, that's not a small amount, is it? Mm-mm. In Spain and France. And well, we don't have any of that, luckily, but blue skies and everything. Anyway, Michelle Frechette is the Executive Director of Post Status. In addition to the work over there, Michelle is the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech, creator of WP Speakers, WP Career Pages, and Sponsor Me WP. She's also the co-founder of Speed Network Online. She likes to write, so she's an author, influencer, and frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress events. Living outside of Rochester, New York, she likes to take nature photography as well. I bet you and Zach have had chats, haven't you? You can learn more about her at meetmichelle.online. So hello again, Michelle. Nice to
hello,
have you.
Hello. I hope to be someday the photographer that Zach is. He's pretty amazing.
Would you ever swap? Well, we'll find out what kind of photography Zach does in a minute. And then I'd be kind of curious to know whether Zach does nature. Because the photographs that I've seen of Zach are... How to describe it? They're not nature.
they're absolutely nature.
Well, you know what I mean. Okay, they're not birds and cats and bison and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's true. All right, let's go over. Is that right? Have I gone right? I don't know. Anyway, let's go over to Mark Benzocaine. How are you doing, Mark?
I am doing swell.
Mark always joins us at ridiculous o'clock. I think it's just gone 6:15 in the morning or something like that where he lives. Mark is the partnerships manager at Main WP. Oh, new bio. Love it. What does that mean exactly? Mostly it means finding good companies doing useful things in the WordPress space and figuring out how Main WP can work with them in ways that benefit everyone within the WordPress community. That can include integrations, promotions, events, content, or simply connecting the right people. Put another way, Mark spends a lot of time having conversations, building relationships, and occasionally explaining that partnerships does not just mean asking companies for sponsorship money, not that he'll ever turn that down. Can I have some sponsorship money, Mark? He also likes to spend time outdoors, often forgetting to put sunscreen on. Is there a story there?
I spent yesterday, I was telling you before the show, walking around San Francisco, which happened to coincidentally be the day of the San Francisco Marathon. I had no idea until I planned the trip. And then I ended up walking around all over San Francisco, and we did half a marathon, 13 miles yesterday, and I got a little bit red.
You don't look it. No.
Well, it's the magic of camera filters.
And the fact that
most people forget how white I normally am. So.
Well, I appreciate you coming on once again and getting up early and all of that. That's really, really... so please, thank you so much. Okay, so last but by no means least is Zach Stepek. How are you doing, Zach?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much. I don't know what time it is where Zach... You're not on the West Coast, are you?
No.
So it's not crazy o'clock where you are. That's good. I have two bios for Zach because I had to cancel the show last week for sort of family reasons. And so there was the bio which carried over from last week. And then he wrote a new one for this week. So shall I just read out the most recent one that you wrote in? Would that be better?
Yeah,
okay, let's go with that. Zach Stepek builds web-native software, manages artists, and shoots rock and metal shows, sometimes in the same week. He co-hosts Expanding the Stack on openchannels.fm and is a returning organizer for WordCamp US. You can find a list of his current projects at daemonwork.com, D-A-E. monwork.com. So your photographs are not of cows and bison and pigeons.
No, I don't photograph birds, though.
It's metal
to be used for some of the people.
Metal bands is what I've seen of your photography in the past. So okay, well, thank you, all three of you, for joining us today. I really appreciate it. I'll just go through if there's any comments. There's a few. Hello, we've got Web Squadron joining us. How are you doing? Imran, we've got Elliot just joining us from down the road. Roy Tanks joining us. Hello. Good morning. Gorby in GA. Gorby. Hello, Gorby in GA. Good morning from another Brit. Oh, in Georgia, but not Mark. Richard and freshly retired. Richard and freshly...
Richard Gorbett, yeah.
I didn't quite pause that. If you've got any comments, keep them coming. But what the intention of the next, I don't know, 50 minutes or 60 minutes or whatever it turns out to be is just to stick WordPressy stuff under your nose. and chat through it and see if we can come to any reasonable consensus about it. Typically, we don't, but it's quite nice to have a go. So here we go. First off, this is us, wpbuilds.com. If you like what we do and you want to get an email from me twice a week, put your email address in there. I'll send you when this show comes out. Once I've stripped out the audio from this, I'll put it out as a podcast episode tomorrow morning, and you'd get an email saying that's arrived. Also, any links that we mention in this show will be in amongst loads of others. There's probably about, I don't know, typically in that newsletter, it's probably about 30 links, something like that, all to do with WordPress. So you'll get that. No affiliate links or anything like that. You'll get that tomorrow morning as well. Plus, we do the podcast episode, which comes out on a Thursday, and that's what you're looking at here. Most recent episodes. We had Tess from Automatic. We had Amber Hines, and then we had two Brits, one of whom has the most fabulous name, Tommy Rocket. What about that for an actual real name? Doesn't that sound like somebody from the Hollywood movies?
It sounds like somebody that Zach would photograph.
Right, Tommy Rocket. Yeah, okay. Yeah, somebody from a metal band, perhaps, or something. Yeah. Anyway, I had a chat to them about their work being an agent in what is, I think, probably easy to describe as difficult times. Being an agency owner. So anyway, there was that. And then what I do is I allow the guests to drop in some links if they wish to. If they don't, that's completely fine. But if they want to drop in some links, they sure can do. And I see that Mark's dropped in a couple. So I'm letting Mark lead on this. Couple of AI ones, I think. First one, Axios, is called China's Open Weight Kimi Model Stuns AI World with Frontier Level Results. Tell us more, Mark.
To be honest, I am just reading about this, and I find it really interesting. So it's an open weight model, which means you can actually install it on your own hardware, but it's not open source, which means you don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. But the impressive thing is, so the first article that I shared is kind of like what the leaked information was about it. And then the second article are the actual benchmarks. And I haven't gone through all the benchmarks and all of that yet, but it sounds like it's pretty impressive. And it's, you know, of course, everything that comes out in AI these days is the such and such killer. So is this the Fable killer? Is this the whatever killer? Who knows? But this is most of this stuff technically is above my pay grade, and I don't necessarily, I haven't quite figured it all out. But one of the things that seemed to be pretty impressive is that it seems to do very well at what they call SWE, which is what is it, Software Engineering Benchmarks. And it's designed to test whether or not AI is able to go in and determine bugs in complex pieces of software and squash them. And apparently it is comparable to some of the others out there that we currently have in the US. So what it basically boils down to is China's catching up to the US. And, you know, then there's the whole philosophical question of, okay, but we can't trust China and, you know, all the spying and everything that goes on. But I think ultimately it boils down to people are going to go with whatever's cheapest, and they've gotten so used to AI as part of their workflow that I'm not sure people are going to care. Plus, the rest of the world, I'm not sure, trusts the United States and their AI models.
What's really interesting is that in the UK, I can only speak to UK journalism, but I'll just take that off the screen. Actually, in the UK, the discussion about AI, probably about a year ago, it was still really nerdy. You know, it was tech press stuff, and now it's kind of leached into regular news cycles, like normal newspapers talk about AI, because I think it's fair to say that if you're behind a computer, you know, if you're a gardener or something, maybe AI is not part of the furniture, but if you're sat behind a computer, it's quite likely you've collided with it now, and so it's become part of the conversation. And so anyway, the reason I'm saying it is this kind of news now is just leaking into normal newspapers. And the bit that I read in a British newspaper was that essentially you can measure now in a handful of weeks how far the Chinese are behind the US. And it used to be measured in years. And I think the US went to great lengths to kind of make the hardware unavailable and what have you. It seems that despite all of that, the Chinese have figured out, you know, ways to either streamline their systems or get the hardware anyway. I don't really know. But it's weeks, you know, it's literal weeks. So, you know, these AI companies in America that used to dominate, I think this time next year, we'll be talking in the same breath about things like this Kimi model as we have been doing about ChatGPT and OpenAI and Anthropic and all of those kind of things. Because I think you're right. I'm not sure many people will care too much where the model comes from. Maybe they will care if legislation prevents them from using it. But given the freedom to pick anything, I think they'll just go with whatever's cheapest. And I would imagine China will be pretty hawkish on being cheap.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
That's my two cents. I don't know if Zach or Michelle have anything to add to that.
I don't.
No. Okay. Zach, anything on that?
No, I just, you know, I think that what we're going to continue to see is more and more of these frontier capable models coming from everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's not something that's going to be limited to the large players anymore. And yeah, as I experiment with local AI more and more, the capability of some of these open source models is really becoming pretty amazing. And with the right hardware and the right amount of RAM, right, that's the big limitation here, you can have quality that is approaching the frontier models right from your own machine.
It's a miracle. I don't use a lot of AI. I know people that do, but the only real metric that I can bring to bear is transcriptions. So for things like this podcast, I get it transcribed with AI and then, you know, scan it and tighten it up a bit. But the but a few years ago, let's say 4 years ago, that stuff was voodoo. You know, it was really cutting edge. Mm-hmm. And now I have a Mac on my computer with some downloaded models. It's called Mac Whisper. I don't know if you've come across it. It's by an indie developer. I can't remember where he's from. You download Whisper or whatever model you want to do, and you drop it in, and like 4 minutes later, this basically perfect transcript comes out. And for a brief moment, your computer got a little bit warm, but that was it. And just a few years ago, that was the domain of absolutely cutting edge SaaS. And now it's just totally pedestrian and normal.
Well, it's so normal that I think we've gotten to the point where if we find out someone's not using it, we ask why.
Okay, interesting.
You know, so it's like completely flipped. It's like, why are you doing it the hard way?
Yeah, okay.
And the thing that I find interesting, in fact, last week I just had a Zoom session with some people in France. And they're speaking English with French accents. And of course, to me, it's like, I'm, you know, obviously a little bit of an idiot. And I think, how is it that it's able to transcribe English in a different angle, in a different language, you know, a different accent, you know, and yet it does it so well. It's like, I can't even transcribe what they're saying. I have to go back and read it.
Yes.
In order to you know, make out what some of what was said. And it's like, this just blows my mind how good it's gotten.
Yeah. So I interview people from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I speak to these people and English is their second language and they are thick with accent. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I'm listening back, the very quickest way for me to understand that particular sentence is to read what the transcript says, because it just knows that, let's say, I don't know, somebody from India is quite likely to pronounce that word in that way. We've heard it 1,000 times, so we know it's that. Whereas I'm hearing it for the first time, I think, oh, what is that? That's curious. I can't get that word. And you read it. It's ridiculous. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. With great power comes great responsibility. And with that, let's put this one on the screen. So this is where it all sort of goes a bit backwards. So this is on the repository. As always, thank you, Ray, for your outstanding contribution to journalism in the WordPress space. WordPress 7.0.2 patches rare pre-authentication, RCE, as host CDNs get 24-hour head start. So this is the slightly shocking news that a researcher armed with $25 managed to poke a hole into a vanilla version of WordPress. So there's two articles, and again, they'll both be linked in the show notes, but this again is on the repository, but it's basically the same story in more detail. Security researcher uses OpenAI's Sol Ultra to find WordPress's worst vulnerability in years. The folks from PatchStack, as soon as this vulnerability had been announced, the folks from PatchStack apparently immediately said AI did that. But instantly, because it was far too complicated for a human being to have pulled off. It required three dominoes to fall, all of which were kind of quirky and a little bit unusual. But if you stack them in the right way, you could leverage an administrator account because you did something else and because you did something else. And it basically meant that WordPress 7.0.1 was vulnerable immediately. So it got pushed. A new release, hopefully you got it, was automatically pushed out. Loads of the hosts were contacted because turns out there's a, I'm going to say secret, that's the wrong word. There's like a private Slack channel for WordPress security researchers and WordPress hosts. And so there was this back channel going on 24 hours. A lot of the hosts managed to apply patches. Companies in the security space applied patches. Cloudflare applied patches. So hopefully the problem didn't come and bite you. If you haven't, for some reason, updated WordPress 7.0.2, just know that it's out there, it's in the wild, and everybody knows how to basically take control of your site. So I woke up in the morning and all my sites had slightly unexpectedly got updated because, you know, I follow the WordPress news quite heavily and didn't know that was going to happen. And, you know, so I was a bit surprised. But nevertheless, I thought, oh, that'll be one of those rare moments where something nasty has been averted. So anyway, there you go. There's AI. Well, was it AI turned bad? I don't know. I mean, it wasn't really. It was a researcher doing actual research, but it was the fact it cost $25 and an evening's compute cycle.
It's AI doing ethical hacking. Isn't right. that what it okay. is? Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, if any, Michelle, Mark, or Zach, have you got anything on that? Obviously bad, but good at the same time, I suppose.
Yeah, it was amazing to watch it happen so fast. The patches and everything come out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Companies on the scale of Cloudflare, I mean, I don't know what the proportion of Cloudflare is of WordPress, but I imagine it's a fairly large slice of the pie. And so hopefully if you were behind Cloudflare, that would have been, you know, all taken care of for you. But go and read these articles. The one of them explains how the whole thing happened and the technicalities of it. And one of them sort of just explains it from the WordPressy side of things and the fact that, you know, there was this release.
I guess the only thing that pops into my mind is, you know, this was ethically hacked and reported. What about all this stuff that may be going on that we don't know about?
Well,
that people spent $25 on.
Yeah, so there's that. You got $50. You can do it twice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, for $25 and an AI model, you can hack your own WordPress website.
So the curious thing about this, that the nature of the attack seems to have been something along these lines. Here's a vanilla version of WordPress. Mm-hmm. And they did a couple of things, like they removed its ability to, I think, talk to GitHub or something. I can't remember. But basically, it couldn't go out and find prior art, if you know what I mean. So here's a version of WordPress, which is completely vanilla. Go. Just break the sandbox, if you like. Go. And 6 hours later, it had done it. And so it's, I wonder if there's lots of people doing that, because obviously
of course
this guy
there
got
are.
One result. Yeah, but what I'm saying is you would have thought that maybe, and I know that Austin Ginder ran another similar thing and found nothing So I don't know that there's a whole cavalcade of things out there, but you know, give it $200, you never know. Be nice and show it the money. Yeah. Maybe. Anyway, there we go. So definitely go and update if you haven't already. But thank you, Ray, for reporting that. And then slightly more pedestrian WordPress news. Let's get on to this. If you want to, you can check out the latest version. WordPress 7.1 Beta 3 has now been dropped. The WordPress 7.1 beta channels and prior alpha channels are your way of sort of going and testing things. But there's a few changes. A few things have been punted, is the word we use. One of them is, and I was talking about this for weeks, thinking, why is this even a thing? Unicode email support has been dropped. So if that means nothing to you, it means that you could have an email address with a variety of extended characters. Let's put it that way. So here's a perfect example. On the screen, Ray's been kind enough to give us an email address, and it looks like rod@gra.org. But if you look carefully, you'll notice that the O is a curious version of an O with like a line through it. I don't quite know what you call that line, but anyway, it's got a line through it. And the A has what I think is called, I don't even know what that is. It's like a circle above the A. These are obviously characters used in a variety of languages that I do not speak. But anyway, the reason it's been pulled is because it turns out it gave us problems elsewhere. So on the face of it, great idea. Let's allow all of these languages to drop in their characters and we'll be good. But no, apparently, like some unexpected things, like, for example, password requests failed because of Unicode characters. So that's one thing. Comment validation failed. So if you were writing a comment and that was the email that you chose, that would fail. Duplicate email checks produce PHP warnings. Anyway, it's now going to be developed as a community plugin. So the endeavor's not going away. It's just, it won't be, it won't be something that's going to ship. I don't know if that's even a story, but there you go. So sorry, rod.gra@gra.org, that you can't log in with that email address, and nor will you be able to in the future. But maybe that'll change. Anybody on that? No. Unfortunately, you can't use those rainbow icons or anything like that in your email address. I so wanted that. Okay, right, let's move on then. This one, I'm just going to raise it for you. New in Gutenberg 23.6. I don't know if you're like me, you kind of follow on the WordPress project pretty closely. This is some nice stuff which is coming in the near future. So I'm an audio fan, love putting audio content out, podcasts and so on. Zach, obviously massive like music fan. Don't know if this will be of any use to you, but there's now this playlist block where, I mean, it's like WordPress is always, it does an adequate job. It's not going to be the cutting edge. Somebody will probably have a plugin which makes it far superior to this. But now you can drop in this playlist block. And into that playlist, you can just add a bunch of tracks. And they're like list items, really. You just chuck them in as like children of the playlist block. And then, I don't know, you've got a podcast with a series or an album with a bunch of songs. It now configures it all, and you can see it on the screen. But it creates a player with waveforms, and you can select the track that you like. So, and there's a bunch of options for showing like the artist name and stuff like
nice.
That. Yeah, it's pretty cool, yeah?
So how does that appear in the media library, I wonder?
I'm guessing each of them is just an entry into the media library, as simple as that. Yeah, I don't. So on the left, we can see you've got this playlist, and then you've got the tracks as sort of children of the playlist. I'm imagining they're just entries in the media library. I don't know how you pick the next track. Sorry, Zach, did you say something?
Yeah, I said that'd be my guess as well. Yeah, that brings up an interesting question about how we start to manage media libraries that have these various media types in them, which we still haven't solved for.
No.
Right. That's why I was like, let's just add one more complication to the media library.
I don't know if you've come across this one, but the maker of Bricks has a really nice plugin called Happy Scribe. He manages to keep the two things going. No, not Happy Scribe. It's called Happy Files, I think it is. And Happy Files just introduces like a Mac Finder or Windows. What's it called in Windows? The thing that you use to search your files.
The Explorer, Explorer.
Yeah. The thing which you look for files.
Clippy.
Clippy. Yeah. Oh no.
That's how I find my files.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it introduces folders like that, so you just chuck everything to album folders or your subfolders of subfolders. It's quite useful. Anyway, that is a thing, and the tabs block is now got a bit of an update, so it lets you organize content into tab sections. I'm just reading off this post. Each panel accepts any blocks you like, so you can have tabs with literally anything you like underneath them, which is pretty cool. You know, videos or even this. You know, you could put this this playlist block under there, and you got a bunch of new controls like spacing and what have you. This is really cool. I don't know if anybody's actually using Notes, but if you are. Notes is the endeavor in WordPress to have like Google Docs style collaborative editing. Now you can actually highlight a single bit of a paragraph. You used to have to just the whole paragraph or the whole block was it. So now, for example, if you can see the screen, imagine a paragraph of text with three people having left comments. Each of their comments is just a collection of words, not the whole thing. And they get organized into the comment in the right sidebar gets organized into the list, the order in which they appear in the text itself. And you can at mention people, again, really cool. And presumably you could at mention an AI client or something like that as well and get it to do some work on your behalf. So that's pretty cool. Gallery, which always has been a static thing, I've used it a bunch of times. It's quite nice. It's had some recent updates with go left, go right in it and things like that. Now you can add dynamic data. So you could, for example, insert dynamically a bunch of images. This is the sort of thing that blocks needed for ages. And then there's custom collections for icons as well. I think I'll probably stop there. Was there anything else? There was a bunch of notable stuff, but I'll leave it there. So anyway, some nice improvements coming your way. Anybody on that? No. Mm-hmm. Okay, in which case I will move on. I don't know anything about React, but apparently React 19 is better than 18. Who would have thunk it? And React 19, for reasons I don't really understand, has been 19 has been punted. I'll just read what it says on this Make article. React 19 upgrade won't be a part of WordPress 7.1. After briefly enabling it in Gutenberg, we discovered unexpected incompatibilities in how old and new versions of React interact with each other. In the ways how plugins use React, we were forced to revert the change. So not only can you have your Unicode emails, no React 19 for you either. But I guess if it's breaking things, that's probably quite a good thing. That's on make.wordpress.org as well. I'm going to assume nobody's got anything to say about that one as well, because it's unless you're highly technical and want to explain why to me. But anyway, not clever enough to understand this. Maybe you'll have something to say about this one, though. So a little while ago, the WPCC came along. It's called the WP or the WordPress. Well, we'll go with WP so as not to confuse things. WP Community Collective. And recently, like a couple of days ago, 23rd of July, they've changed their name. Because Say Reed, who is the, I think she's the CEO of the what was the WPCC Community Collective, was poking around. I don't really know why, but was poking around and noticed that the, I'm going to say WordPress Foundation. Yes, I think it's WordPress Foundation, had put in a trademark. For that acronym WPCC, they've put in a trademark application which has been undecided as yet. But rather than have two overlapping things, the WPCC, this one that you're looking at on the screen, and this trademarked one, which I'll talk about in a second, Say and the Open Community Collective have decided to add an O, so it's now the WPOCC. The O standing for open. I don't think there's any sense here of like foul play or anything. At least it doesn't seem like that, because there really has genuinely been an actual overlap, because there's something called WP Campus Connect, which coincidentally has the exact same acronym. And no sooner had WP Campus Connect been announced as a thing, like a week later, the WordPress Foundation filed for the trademark on that acronym. So it doesn't really seem like it was like, you know, anybody trying to bite anybody else. It's more that this is probably the process that the foundation go through. Anyway, if you're into the WP, what was CC, it's now not. It's so hard to get this out of my mouth. It's now WPO CC, Open Community Collective. So there you go. That's just something you got to watch out for in the future. Mm-hmm. WPCC is... Now, look, CC. I've lost my thread. What is the Campus Connect? WPOCC, yeah. Open Community Collective. Right, there you yes. go. I hope that's clear. I'll be doing a test at the end. Anything about that, anybody?
I think it's a smart move. Yeah, I think, I think, you know, just why bother with any confusion or any animosity, if there's any of that, or any type of conflict. Just, you know, just change it. People know that are interested in the organization, know it exists. People who aren't going to notice that there's a difference in change. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, presumably the old website will redirect to the new one and things like that. So presumably it won't be too much of a drama. Austin Ginder, who we were just talking about, has just popped in. And can you help me out? My memory is like that of a fish. I'm trying to remember what I said about Austin a minute ago. But his reply was, it's the difference of deep audits versus broad audits. Was that me talking about throwing an AI just at a vanilla WordPress? What do you think? Anybody got any? Austin, if you can elaborate.
I think that might have been when it came in, yeah.
Yeah, if you can elaborate on that, that would be helpful. And then Imran, I have all the sympathy in the world, Imran, I get it. Apropos of nothing that we've been talking about, he said, no one will care, but I just recorded a 55-minute video and realized that I forgot to hit record.
I did that with guests 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
On Underrepresented in Tech. We got 5 minutes in and I went, oh my goodness, gentlemen, excuse me, but I forgot to press record. We'll start again and it'll be even better.
So 5 minutes is not too bad.
No, a whole hour would be very crushing.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah, that's one of my nightmares.
I've had interviews
is doing
on
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's not much you can do after the fact. So the platform, I shouldn't really say this. Hang on, I'm going to find some wood. Get some wood, touch it. There we go. The platform that we use does not have a backup apart from where it's going live. So it's going to like four different places. So there's that. But if it crashes in the back end, I have to go to one of those four places and download it. But now, like, these streaming platforms, they're just so clever. You know, they've got like multiple layers of redundancy. I recorded a podcast episode the other day. The platform, as soon as I clicked stop, told me that it had failed. I got in touch with support. This is Descript, by the way. Got in touch with support and they said, yeah, don't worry about it. We've got like three or four copies of that all over the place. Don't. I was like, oh, phew. Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah, but if you don't hit the record button, then all bets are off.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to say. But there you go. Sorry, Imran. Go and start again. Wait till the end of the show, though. Okay, right. Let me take that comment off. Put that back on. Anyway, good luck, Say, and Open Community Collective people. I hope it continues to go well. So we seem to be talking a lot about things not happening, don't we, at the minute? Like, there's not Unicode. There's not React 19. This is a bit like a not, but a very different kind of not. This is about accessibility. So Joe Dolson wrote the other day that there are now accessibility theme documents that you must follow if you want your theme to be accessible ready and in the WordPress.org repository. The idea was to get a load of this work done by May, but that now has been punted until the 30th of September. I'll just read it. So Joe Dolson, make.wordpress.org. When we announced the new Accessibility Ready theme guidelines in May, the accessibility time set an ambitious timeline to re-review all themes and require action from theme authors by June the 30th of this year. Can you imagine that? All themes reviewed? Wow. Well, that date fled by 3 weeks ago, and the team hasn't taken action to delist any themes yet. The team has found that we need more time to be able to reasonably go through all the themes and make progress. So we're extending this deadline until the 30th of September 2026. By the way, this seems like deadly serious stuff. If you're a theme author and you've got a theme in the repository, I could be reading this wrong, but I think you now have to go through this process. Otherwise, they're going to delist you. Whether you have got the accessible ready tag or not, I think they're going to delist you, whatever the status, if you haven't gone through these guidelines. You don't have to have completed that work, but you do have to have engaged with the accessibility team to say that that work is kind of in an ongoing state. There's a big button right at the bottom which says read the requirements and request an accessibility review. So basically, you've got 2 months. If you've got a theme in the repository, if I've read it right, any theme has to go through this auditing process. Do you think that could be right? That seems like too many. Like, how would they even do that?
AI, well, I think if the accessibility team would just spend $25, they could probably...
What are they doing?
Yep. This was,
not only could they have found the problems, they could have fixed all the... I bet Joe's turning
in his... And delisted anything that didn't comply. Yeah,
that's right. So it says here, as a theme author, we expect you to have contacted the accessibility ready team using our theme accessibility review request form. That review indicates that you've taken steps to improve your theme and move towards the new requirements and are engaging in the process. As long as you've submitted the form and begun the process of fixing your theme will not be delisted from the directory. But if you don't do that, it will be delisted. Now, that doesn't mean that if you've got your theme out on 1,000 sites, those sites are going to like have it sucked out of them. No, it'll still continue to work. If you push updates, those recipients will still get the updates, but you won't be discoverable. So, you know, if you're on the .org to make a wave, you won't, basically. So quite a strong message they're sending. So
I think that it's needed, though, because, I mean, how long have we been talking about accessibility and themes?
Yep.
For like 100 years now.
Yep. Yep.
And at some point in time, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's something that everybody agrees needs to be part of something and nobody's doing their part, at some point in time, somebody has to do a little bit of strong arming. And actually, you know, I don't know what other choice they have.
No.
But to be a little bit, you know, hey, get this done. And they're still being really flexible. They're saying, just contact us. Let us know. Communicate with us.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot to go through. I'll just put it on the screen. I just click through onto the guidelines and you can see, you know, a lot of work has been done. There's a handbook and then there's a whole bunch of different guidelines about how you would tackle different things like skip to content links and labeled form fields and all of this. But like Mark just said, you don't have to do the whole thing. You just have to engage with the process at this point. So I guess engage with the process. Marcus Burnett is often on this podcast, or he has been lots of times before. He's also the custodian, the founder, the developer, I guess, of the WP World, which is a community which, if you haven't joined it and you're in the WordPress space and you want to know kind of really the heartbeat of what's going on in the WordPress space, so events and other people and businesses and sponsors and all of that stuff, this is the place to go. And they've added this new layer in the background where they've got this, it's like a social network, but not a social network. In other words, you can connect with fellow WordPressers. Let's say, for example, you're going like I am, I'm off to WordCamp US in a few weeks' time. I'll be able to log into the WP world. I'll be able to see who's tagged themselves with I'm attending WordCamp US. Obviously, you know, you have to do that work. It's not like some automation goes on. But if I tag myself as attending WordCamp US, then people could maybe, I don't know, say, let's go hang out. Let's have a coffee or what have you. And it's not intended as like a social network. It's just like this bi-directional, you confirm me, I confirm you, we can have a chat. I don't think there's a broader, let's post your stuff publicly from that moment on. It's just a, you know, a way of connecting two people, mutual friends, Marcus says. But that functionality launched, I'm going to say a week ago, something like that. So if you've been in the WP world, but you've thought that would be a nice feature to have, they now do. And thank you, Marcus, for building that in. I've logged in. I've connected with Marcus on that. I confess I haven't gone any further than that, but I will be, because I think this is really cool and it's got nothing to do with Facebook. I didn't actually say that. If the lawyers have got their AI tuned in to the transcripts, I didn't. Facebook's great. I love it. Anybody want to add anything to that?
I just think it's pretty cool. I've seen a lot of people saying it's nice. I saw some negative comments like, if I wanted to do that, I'd just go to Facebook or whatever. All right, so don't do it. You know, nobody's forcing you to friend people on this network, so.
No. Yeah, do you know what? I saw that. Was that on Twitter?
It was either Twitter or it was in one of the Facebook
just
groups.
I don't know who it was. I genuinely didn't take that, but it was just like a really unnecessary dig it, but like Marcus just did this nice thing and then somebody felt that like I had to put the boot in, like, oh, another social network. Well, all right,
don't do it.
Just don't join.
Well, especially when you consider Marcus as, I mean, if you know Marcus, you know he wants to do everything he can to bring the community together, and so why not you know, add this to something that you've already built.
I just don't get, I genuinely don't get that mentality. Like, oh, somebody made a nice thing. You know what? Yeah. I think I'll just slag it off because I didn't make it and I can't see it. I'm going to use it. So let's destroy it. Anyway, there you go. I'm just going to pivot slightly because Zach, sorry, I only just saw your private comment in the platform. So we'll just go straight to that, actually, if that's all right. I don't even know what this is. So I'll just pop it on the screen. GitHub. Is this you, Zach, or is this somebody else?
No, so this is Jake from 10Up and Fueled. Jake Goldman.
Yeah.
Has been working on a WordPress browser extension. And it handles a lot of complaints that he had about working with WordPress in general. Like the fact that the admin bar is cool when you need it, but kind of not when you don't. So you can now use the browser extension to hide it. Plugins can put their own items in the admin bar, obviously, so the admin bar can get a little crazy sometimes. So you can use the plugin to go and edit a page directly from the front end. You can get to your WordPress admin. It opens the editor. Right. So you just hit edit page, goes in, lets you edit the page. The WordPress admin is available from there all the time. So you don't really need the admin bar to show up all the time if you have the extension installed.
So the extension that I'm guessing sort of is just sitting in the background, and when it detects some bit of a WordPress website which gives it away, you know, in the HTML or what have you, it kind of intercepts that, says, ah, this is a WordPress website, and it just sort of takes you from there. And if you're logged in, the buttons will do stuff. And if you're not logged in, presumably it won't do anything.
Yeah, it uses REST API links, mm-hmm. generator tags, asset paths, body classes to detect whether or not the site is WordPress.
That's super cool. So essentially it just means, it just gives you a bunch of options, but is out the way, tucked away in a browser tab. Sorry, in a sort of extensions tab, as opposed to having to go for the full Chrome around WordPress.
Yeah, and the most recent release is a release candidate. So this started as a product, a project that Jake wanted for himself, and it ended up being adopted by WordPress as an organization now. So it will be released two Chrome and Safari extension stores in the near future as a WordPress product.
As an actual WordPress. So it's migrated from a GitHub project to an like fully supported, this is a WordPress thing officially.
Correct.
Oh, neat. That's really great. Okay, I'm going to definitely, I'll keep that one on the screen when we end the show, and I'm going to go and explore that. It's one of those kind of things that you don't know that you need it until you've used it, and then you're like, ooh.
How did I ever live without it?
Yeah, yeah. Right,
yeah, okay, exactly.
Interesting. Oh, you can install it directly from the GitHub page. I'm on Brave at the minute, which is a Chromium derivative, and you can install it directly from there. So I won't do it just now in case it kills the show. That's very cool. That's very, very cool. Nice one. Thank you, Jake, for making that available for the rest of us. That's super cool. I'll add that to the show notes. I'll put it in the, I don't know where I'll put it, in the plugins, themes, and code section or something like that, so you can inspect it. Anybody got anything else on that, or shall I move
on? No, it's pretty cool.
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. I'm keen to see what options there are, because I guarantee the things that I use won't be there. It's just I'm bound to have some configuration of normal stuff that I do that like the media library. I want the media library in it. By the way, the media library, we were talking about that a moment ago. It's not the media library, but in a near version of WordPress, when WordPress 7.1 comes out, there's going to be a media modal, which means that if you're in a, let's say, a post and you want to drop in an image, you can just chuck it into the block editor, which you've been able to do, right? But all that happened was it went in the media library. From now on, you're now going to get a bunch of like slim, trimmed down Photoshop style editing options at that exact moment. So you'll be able to skew it, put a gradient over it, crop it, move it, put the focus in a different part, and that'll all happen at the instant you add your image. So no more kind of uploading it, going back to, I don't know, Figma or whatever it is that you use, tweak it because it's not quite right. Hopefully most of those things will be available at the point that you you open it. That's very cool. Very, very cool. Anyway, there we go. Right. Okay. We were talking to, sorry, Michelle, go on.
Nope, I'm good. Oh,
right. It's that time of the show. It's about 40 or so, 50 minutes in where Mark's lights go. You've done well getting to 57 minutes, Mark, to be honest. Mark has a motion sensor on the lights in the shared workspace. And at some point, usually earlier than that, his lights go and he has to wander off and wave his hand at things. How much, next time, bring a cat or something and just pop the cat down. I was saying next time, Mark, bring a cat and just like have it.
That's a fantastic. Yes, but we all know that the cat is just going to lay around when you need it to actually be active. So
when I was at school, when I got to, I don't know, I was about 17 or something, that technology, that motion sensing technology came around for the first time.
Yeah.
And they installed it across the entire school. And but nobody had done any kind of work on how do you configure this? And so we had that like for a full 5 or 6 weeks until the electricians came back. But it happened about every 3 minutes.
At least this is, I don't know what the timer is on this, but
well,
I've talked to the electrician like 50 times. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is the podcast room here at the co-work. Okay. The podcast room. Yeah. And yet there's like no motion sensor in here for the lights. So, you know,
well, when I was at school, can you imagine like a bunch of 17-year-olds? There's no way they're sitting still. So we were all moving around the whole time, but they'd configured it so you basically had to be like in a disco or something so that the lights wouldn't go off.
Yeah.
And so the lights would go off. And for this period of like 5 or 6 weeks, the lights would go off and the teacher would just go on. And we'd all get off and, you know, start doing this all at the same time. And the lights would come back on. Looking back,
oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was genuinely really
fun. You know what? Maybe I should get one of those. I should get one of those laser pointers that just like random for cats and just set it on the floor or something and see if it
Can I suggest next time you come on the show, have a fake cat, a model of a cat on a fishing rod or something like that, and just sort of swing it around. Oh, that's got to be the title of this show.
A, I promise you that won't work. And B, I'm a little bit concerned at the pushback you would get about having a cat on a string.
Well, and the weight attached to the term catfishing.
Okay. Oh, true, true, true.
There's that.
True.
Yeah. There's that.
For Christmas,
really got derailed, didn't it?
For Christmas, Mark Westgaard gave me one of those people with the air in them when they dance.
Yeah,
just put one of those in that room.
Yeah, I
have no idea why those things are so funny. But like,
you know,
when you're in proximity to something and you find it really fun and you look around and nobody is, those things do that to me. I look at them and I wet myself just because they're just so wild, aren't they? I wet myself.
I need to get a GoFundMe going for one of those.
So this episode is, unless something else occurs, is going to be called Fake Cat on a Fishing Rod. That's got to be the winner. We're never going to beat that, are we? We might as well give up now. No, let's carry on. Right. So back to this. We were talking about education earlier. We were talking about what is now the canonical WPCC. Community credits. This is a little bit like that. So this is WP credits. WP credits is an educational initiative in the WordPress space whereby if an institution buys in, I'm doing air quotes, then they allow a proportion of the program of study to be done under the auspices of WordPress, believe it or not. So for example, the University of Pisa allowed their students to opt in and do WordPress stuff in exchange for, I think it was a 12th or something like that of their degree program. And this is taken off, and it's taken off in different parts of the world. And in order to make this grow, I want to say foundation, let's go for foundation. I'm sorry if that's not actually who is behind this. They're reaching out to other institutions, and the most recent one is, well, they're not saying which one, it's a college in the US has expressed interest in the program, and it says, but their students need a developer-focused track. And it sounds like the team that are behind this program don't have what they think it takes to help make that track and put that track together. So if that hits your sweet spot, you know, if you're a developer and you like education and you figure that, you know, you could help come up with a community track for the WP credits program to help, you know, university students or college students in this case, then that might be something you could do. It says where we need your help. This is where the community comes in. If you're a developer or a WP teacher, we'd love your input on what specific contributions could make up a dev track. What should students be working on to build, and I suppose this is the point, real job relevant skills. So I guess it's forward facing, you know, the stuff that's coming in the future. Taking it a step further, if we structure this as a 2-3 level path, beginner to advanced, what contributions would you place in each tier? And we need at least the first tier defined by the end of August. So there's a month to go to stay on track for this pilot. So if you have any thoughts, please share them soon. Make.wordpress.org. Alan A. Warner. Or Alana, I should say, not Alan A. Warner. Apologies, Alana. And it's called Help Shape the Next Chapter of WP Credits, a developer track and pilot opportunity. It'll be in the show notes, but what a great, great thing if you're if you're into those things, WordPress and education. Anybody want to comment on that? Or
was there a comment in the chat, the latest one?
Okay, the credits program is under the thank you. God, isn't it amazing? Like how... I feel like I said that sentence asking whether it was under the foundation about 8 seconds ago. But it can't have been, right? Because they replied to that. The WP credits program is under the foundation WordPress Community Support PLC, WPCS, okay? And that is directly owned as a company by the WordPress Foundation. Okay, thank you. All right. So it's a company. Is it a for-profit or a non... I don't know how that works. Anyway, there we go. That's what it is. Thank you. If that is true, I appreciate it. James saying greetings from Ontario, Canada. I nearly said calendar. You live in the country calendar. And it's 23 degrees in a sensible unit and 74 in the other rogue unit. right. Okay. Should we move on?
Yes.
Okay. This I feel is the piece of the week. I love this. This is Member Press. Doomerism has been around in the WordPress space for several months now. And MemberPress, or particularly Kurt Noble, has taken a bit of a deep dive. We're going to put on the screen a little bit later a sort of more contrary opinion to this. But Kurt's opinion is that the WordPress market share data, which has been in decline, represents not a decline that we need to worry about, but a decline because Google, or search engines, but substitute search engines for Google, has very deliberately made the business model of thousands of WordPress websites utterly pointless. And the story basically goes like this. For years, and Kurt wraps himself up as one of these people, for years, people have been creating WordPress websites, and he says he reckons 90% of the wrongdoers, let's go with that in air quotes, that's not the right word, but we'll go with that, have been making WordPress websites in order to massage SEO in one way or another. And Google, in some recent updates stretching from 2024 through 2025 and 2026, have basically figured this out. And because they figured it out, they've delisted, deranked catastrophically in some cases, these websites. Now, the contention here then is, if that business model has gone, it's kind of no surprise that millions of WordPress websites have just disappeared. Because what's the point in having domains whose entire purpose was to help your SEO endeavor, and it no longer helps your SEO endeavor? And he's backing it up with some data. He's saying that for the sites that matter, WordPress is still in the ascendancy. There's an awful lot in this piece. It's called WordPress Lost Market Share and Got Stronger. Here's why. I'm not paraphrasing it perfectly because I don't have time. If you look, it is a full-on essay, right? I mean, I've read it all and tried to understand it all, but it is a full-on essay. But it to me is the most cogent version of why not to, you know, the sky is falling in Chicken Little, market share falling, and what I feel is a really credible explanation. There's a bit at the end, tagged on at the end, about AI, but basically the point is the websites where people have got skin in the game and they've got a real business are sticking around. The websites where in their millions, it was about SEO juicing things and using sort of somewhat shady tactics. Google's figured it out, got rid of them out of their index, and so they've gone out of existence. So I don't know what you think about that, but that's pretty earthy. That was what was on offer. Any thoughts on that, Mark, Michelle, Zach?
I find it really interesting. You know, we talk a lot about the market share of WordPress, and it's been used as a metric for quite some time now, but really that's the market share of the top million sites, I believe, right, that's based on, right? So I would argue that 43% or whatever it is today is actually low compared to how many sites are really built on top of WordPress. But honestly, I don't think that market share is the metric we should be looking at.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay.
I think that, you know, it should be the, for lack of a better term, the gross domestic product of the WordPress industry, right? So what are plugin companies making? What are agencies making? What are theme companies making, right? That's the economic indicator of the strength of the WordPress industry, not market share per se. And while market share is a good indicator, it's kind of a lagging indicator of where we are as an industry.
I'll just put on the screen, actually, another interesting again, I just don't know my way around SEO and, you know, gathering this kind of data and interpreting this data to draw conclusions which people should listen to. So I'm just going to assume that what you're saying is, you know, there's truth in it. But you can see this graph here. US search interest in WordPress over 5 years, and that spike on the right is 2026. So you can see from here is the year 2026, and you can see that that line has basically been more or less steady. You know, it's gone up and down a little bit, but broadly speaking, it's not gone up or down in any given year, except as of beginning of January, it seems to have gone up. And so the contention is, oh, and also aligned to that is the fact that the kind of searches that people are doing, and again, I'm going to trust Kurt on this, the kind of search and the words that are surrounding that search are very much like we're serious, like, you know, WordPress agency, or how do I build a WordPress website? You know, you can imagine the kind of phrases that it's not just, you know, how do I SEO juice a WordPress website or whatever it may be. But I just find that curious because I've not heard this. It seems to be the exact opposite story being told everywhere, but I'm loving what's in this article. I mean, obviously, I've got skin in the game. It would be great for me if WordPress continued to go up and up and up. It felt for a long period of time that the only commentary was that it was going down and down and down. But if Google destroying these websites rankings and what he describes, I think, as the AI hangover, I think it was. What did he say right at the end? Something about AI hangover, something like that. There we go, the vibe coding hangover. In other words, people have had a bit of a play, realized that, okay, it did a certain number of things, but the security data surrounding vibe coded websites isn't impressive. So, for example, the security data alone is sobering, he says. Veracode's ongoing testing of more than 100 large language models found that roughly 45% of AI-generated code samples introduce OWASP top 10 vulnerabilities, and that, yep, that failure rate stayed flat from 2025 to 26, even as the model's syntax correctness climbed past 95%. In other words, maybe people are waking up to the fact that you need something steady, tried and tested over time, not some sort of vibe coded hangover. Anyway, loved that article. Mark, Michelle, or indeed back to Zach if you want.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll happily jump back in. Okay. So I've been doing a lot of AI assisted work lately, right? And one of the biggest things when you are doing that is that it is possible, as it mentions in the article, to introduce security risks without knowing it, right? Because the AI, you know, coding models, the frontier harnesses, really, they only know what the web teaches them, right? So they're not great at security yet. And there has to be a person monitoring that to make sure that there is a secure code base. And, you know, a good example of that is I'm working on some software that I'll be announcing hopefully in the next couple of months with Mark Gratch. And we have, you know, this set of features we needed, and one of them had personally identifiable information about people. And it included information about allergies and other personal data that should be encrypted at rest. And the coding harness told us, or told me, that what it had built was encrypting it at rest. And it was encrypting two of the data points at rest, but not the 12 or so that encrypt, right? So, but it took a human review to find that. And so we're, you know, while we may have lost some market share to the fact that, you know, anybody can prompt a coding harness to go out and build something, it really, to echo what Brad Williams has said about this, requires a human to make sure that the AI isn't introducing huge security risks. And, you know, until we get past that point, there's work for everyone.
Yeah.
Trying to find these, you know, these errors, these problems, these giant security holes. So, yeah, you can spend $25 and force an update to WordPress across, you know, millions of websites. But you can also spend $25 and build slop that is right.
I wonder what humanity's, you know, as a collective, I wonder what our capacity is for checking AI. Like, at what point does it just become so tedious to, okay, it's written me a 5,000 word article. Now I've got to read it, like really read it carefully. Would I have been better off just writing 1,000 words myself? And also, like, isn't part, certainly the fun that I got out of WordPress was actually building
the doing,
the
thing. Yeah.
The figuring it out and putting the pixels on the page and moving them around and altering the font until I was happy with it and what have you. Yeah. It was that actual pleasure. If the pleasurable bit has been removed and given over to an AI, and all I do is basically act as some kind of shepherd and go, I'm not that happy with that. You know, that could be better. Where's the fun in that?
The analogy I can use is, as you know, Nathan, I like to do woodworking. Well, I just ordered a CNC machine, which is supposed to come today. And so you can guess what I'll be doing this afternoon. But anyway,
I actually can't because I don't know what a CNC machine
is. So what a CNC machine is it basically uses a router bit and you can put in the design of what you want.
Oh, it just gets on with it.
It uses plotter coordinates. It's like a plotter with a router that goes in and cuts the wood out for you. And what I'm curious about is, I really actually enjoy getting out the scroll saw and the saws and all that and doing the cutting. But the amount of time that the CNC is going to save me, is that going to be worth it? And that's what I think we're constantly balancing. I mean, I know that at first I'm going to be like, wow, this is really cool. Look at this thing, do this
the
thing.
Honeymoon of watching the machine do its stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
But at some point in time, do you get to where it's like, I really miss the doing part. I really miss going and doing the work myself. And then, of course, we have to throw in the middle of all that mix of I need to make money at this too, right? And so it's like, at what point do you give up a little bit of that passion that you have and the fun part in order to be able to pay your bills? And so that's always like this tug of war. It's like a three-way tug of war between efficiency and desire and then the practicality of making the money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's really, you know, and then of course AI and everything is moving at such a breakneck pace. We've never seen anything like grow as exponentially as this is growing and doing for us. And things that we're talking about this week about human necessity is already, the amount of human interaction that's needed to go through code is still less than it was 6 months ago.
Yeah, it's not.
So where's it going to be 6 months from now and 6 months after that? Because I don't need to define what exponential is, but obviously, you know, at some point in time, it is going to happen. We just don't know when, because we've never seen anything like progress this fast in the history of mankind, as far as we know.
Well, it'll get to the point where even before you've thought about the chair you're going to make out of wood, you'll wake up one morning and there'll be a chair. And it's like, oh, and the AI will just say, yeah, you were definitely going to want to make that chair. So we just got on and did it. You know, it just made you think, we knew that you were likely to make that chair.
Well, I've been looking into these devices that listen for you and then like create. So it basically, for an ADHDer like me, it's going to come in really handy, because like anytime I say, yeah, I'll do that, and then I forget that what I said I was going to do because it was in a casual conversation, it's going to, you know, put it in my task list and do all this stuff for me. but they're already making them that are like, or they're already talking about, oh, this is just something that you just stick on the side of your head and it'll automatically, like, I mean, it's just crazy.
Can you imagine how many divorces are going to occur because of that? Because, like, you know that, no, I definitely said that. No, you didn't. I definitely said that.
Yeah.
And well, now you'll be able to prove it.
I definitely said that. I look at it as it can be a relationship saver, though, too, yeah. Because you actually do the things that you promised you were going to do, yeah, that you forgot that you, yeah, said you were going to do. So, you know.
I don't think I'd ever get one of those machines. I think there's something.
I'm going to be experimenting with this one that I got because it's open source and I can go in and, like, I can program it kind of to do what I want it to do.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fascinating. So,
I think
there's
something about not being perfect, which is quite nice. I mean, I've lived my life with not being perfect, and I, you know, it is quite nice, isn't it? Maybe that's part of the tapestry of the whole thing, is messing stuff up and having to apologize every once in a while and things not working out, and where it's always striving for this perfect version of reality. And, you know, basic, well, it's not basic, you know, physics tells us entropy, Nathan, it's all tending towards chaos. Maybe that's what we need to lean into. But anyway, the point of that article was that maybe AI is starting to kind of have maybe there's a bit of a blowback. And
it's that pendulum swing.
Yeah. But we've got really beguiled by it. It really interesting, but maybe that isn't the end of that debate. We'll talk from the opposite point of view in a few minutes' time, but just we're sort of fast running out of time, so we're just going to nip through a couple of things very quickly, if that's all right. I've never come across this website, but it seems like some sort of clearinghouse for reviews or something like that. It's called Truvora. You know, you can go and find, like, CMSs and, oh, I don't know, CRMs, and they review it. You know, they put a load of things together. They've got a page here about AI platforms that you can actually trust. So I just thought that was interesting in the context of this conversation. Mm-hmm. So I'll put that in the show notes. You can go and see, you know, they do some due diligence and check the reliability. I don't really know how they do it, but I thought that was interesting. Speaking of AI... Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've just been saying AI potentially is not all that great. This is so cool. So Jamie Marsland has built with AI Fable, like a Canva style swap out for the block editor, complete with grid. All I can do is say, go and watch this video. The editing interface, there's nothing there. You there's this tiny little panel where you add things, and then you just click on things, drag them around, handles appear, you make things bigger, you make things smaller, but in the background, it's all of it is core blocks with grid. And so it looks like you're in this totally different interface, because you are, and then you click a button and you see, oh, there it all is as blocks, but it's literally like Canva. You know, you just the editing gets out of the way. You just somehow into it. So he's launched it. It's called Fable. When I say launched it, he's put it out there. And it's obviously got lots, you know, loads of comments. When do you see loads of comments on a WordPress website now? This got loads of comments. And you can go and check it out. So it's on his website, which is called Pootle Press, and it's called I Built a Canva-like Page Builder for WordPress with Fable. It's very much version 0.1 alpha. Just watch the video. It's like 3 minutes long, and it's blooming great, you know, really great, especially for somebody that just wants to knock out an idea quickly. You know, there'll be all the wrangling of accessibility and all of that to come, no doubt, but it's an interesting project, so go check that out.
The part I found most interesting that you didn't mention is that there's a make freeform button that takes Gutenberg blocks and turns them into a canvas.
Oh, go on. I didn't. So, tell me more, because I didn't capture that at all.
So if there's a section that was built in Gutenberg and you open it up in Go, you can hit a button in the upper right corner of that section that says make freeform, and it converts it all to a canvas editable section that's pixel perfect.
That's super cool.
That's probably the coolest part of the whole thing, is you can, you know, take a block-based layout and immediately turn it into a canvas-ready thing. So.
Yeah, and there we were, just sort of, you know, saying that AI, And then there's Jamie just like doing the opposite, using Fable to create this, what looks like a really great tool. I'd be surprised if he didn't like keep iterating on this for a little while at least anyway. So thank you, Jim. Definitely go check it out. It's so worth looking at the video because you've never seen a more minimal UI than that. It, literally, there's nothing getting in the way. It's just the canvas. Like you know, tools like Canva and things like that. Mm-hmm. If you've written bad CSS before and you've broken your site, you know, it's possible. This is an interesting idea. It's called CSS Guardrails, and it puts this layer between you and the save button. So let's say you're on a page and there's a tiny little video here. It's like 30 seconds long. Basically, if this, I'm going to say plugin. I don't know if it's a plugin. I'm guessing it is. Detects that something you're about to do is going to break things. It will prevent you saving it and pop up a warning. I presume you can push through that if you want to. If you know that it's got it wrong, you can push through it. But I've never seen anything quite like that. You know, I've seen it in kind of code editors where, I don't know, you've got the option to add in JavaScript or something, or, you know, order alter a template file or something. Often they'll step in, but I've never seen it for CSS. So it is called CSS Guardrail. It does exactly what I just described. So maybe worth checking out. Oh, and it's free, totally free. And I think it's free forever. Nice. I'm completely wrong. That was something else. So there is a price to this. So it's $29 a year.
It's free if you pay for a $99 lifetime.
There you go. Yeah, free after the fact. Free after that. But you know, if you're working at speed and you make these mistakes and you've accidentally been clumsy from time to time, that might save you bacon a little bit. Again, I'm just on the sort of plug-in hunt for the next couple of minutes. This is Scrutoscope. It's a plugin on WordPress.org. This is the free one. This is totally free. And it's a WordPress performance profiler. I really don't have the time to go into it. But it's measuring things like server request duration, source attribution, database queries, HTTP calls. In other words, what it's trying to do is it's trying to figure out literally where the bottleneck is. So if you notice your WordPress website is becoming slow, this isn't just telling you it's slow. This is trying to figure out, okay, let's go backwards and figure it all out. Where do those bottlenecks lie? And let me just check that this one is actually free. Is it free? It's by Kurt Payne, by the way. Thank you, Kurt. I'm sure this one is the free one. See a real demo. I don't know. I can't find it, but I'm sure that's the free one. So anyway, there we go. And we haven't got time for this one now. But maybe I'll put this one into next week because it's actually worth mentioning. So I'll just move on from that one. And then we were talking about the MemberPress thing a minute ago where Kurt was saying, don't worry about it. WordPress is just having a correction because of AI and Google deranking a load of sites. Well, this is Galea. And he is saying the exact opposite. He's saying, you know, the boom is over for WordPress. He works, I guess, in some way at WP Mayer because he says at WP Mayer, we've been analyzing the plugin ecosystem for over 15 years, and we now run our own intelligence tool that tracks 48,000 plugins in the official directories daily. So instead of arguing from vibes, I track the same set of established plugins year after year and watch what their combined install base actually did. And in the early 2020s, massive growth, doubling was quite common. Then maybe 10 times, 10% after that. And now over the last 12 months, flat or going south. So it sort of stands in stark contrast to what we were talking about a moment ago. So this is from the plugin side, which is different from the install of WordPress side. So definitely worth going and checking that out. Again, I'll link to it in the show notes, but sadly we don't have time for it. But 63 comments on LinkedIn, it's obviously gained some traction. I don't know if those comments are disagreeing or agreeing, but I'll link to it in the show notes. Just a quick security one. This is sad news that 70% of WordPress websites apparently are still running on massively outdated versions of PHP. If you can do something about that in your host of choice, please do. And then just final bit, What a great idea this is, by the way. Like, I read it and I thought, oh, why didn't we do that before? This is WordCamp US is introducing the Made on WordPress marketplace at WordCamp US. So they're hiving off a bit of the sponsor area. I don't know why that is. Maybe the sponsors is down and they've got a bit of extra space. But the idea, it says here, well, I'll be honest with you, when we started brainstorming what could be this, what the sponsor hall could be like, my first thought was a farmer's market. I'd have loved interacting with poultry amongst the WordPressers. But no, not literally. The idea of walking down a row of tables, meeting the actual people behind actual things, and leaving with something you didn't know you needed. That's the energy we're chasing. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to open up this area to the sponsor of the sponsor booth. And I don't know if you're going to just be able to rock up or if you've got to be pre-selected, but it says a small curated corner of the sponsor hall will be built entirely around merchants, makers, and small businesses who run on WordPress. Real people, real products. So they'll be able to sort of showcase their stuff. And I just think that's such a great idea. Anyway, there you go. That was great. Pretty cool, eh? Pretty cool. So go and read this because, you know, there's details about it. And it says at the bottom, know someone who belongs at the table. So there must be, it looks like there's a form that you can fill out if you want to be part of that. But it kind of feels like you're not a sponsor, but you still feel like you've got something to say. I'm guessing it's less driven by profit motives and more driven by, I did a thing. Come and have a look at the thing that I did. You know, you might be able to gain some wisdom from the thing that I did. So we'll see how that turns out. Right. I think that's it.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. I'm just looking at the comments. Anything on there? I got Imran saying image AI restocking my Pepsi Max cans before I need it. What does that mean?
Imagine you were saying how AI was going to have the chair built overnight.
I see. Yeah. Okay, wake up and your favorite sandwich is in your fridge. Yeah, that would be lovely. Yes. Oh yeah, it's coming, Imran, it's coming. And all too soon. It is great idea, right? The WordCamp US thing. I think so. Does that mean Taylor Swift will be there?
I doubt it.
I got fairly, I mean, maybe an AI version, maybe one of those things that that Michelle's got.
Yeah, there you go.
Taylor Swift's face sellotapes to it, but I doubt the, now there's a thought which has got Zach's head going.
Yep.
Yeah, I imagine that. Okay, that's it. That's what we got for you this week around. We should be back next week, barring calamities and things like that. But it only remains for me to say thank you to Mark. Thank you for joining us. Go and get some rest, Mark. It's still like 7:30 where you are, I think. Thanks to Michelle. And thank you to Zach as well. Where are you? You're there somewhere down there. And if you three fancy just hanging out for a minute, when I press the stop on, we can do that. But also thank you to you, the commenters, if you made a comment or just hung out in any way, even if you were just lurking, we appreciate it. There isn't going to be a little slide at the end. So when this ends, it'll just instantly end. But Michelle, Mark and Zach, I'll see you in a second. But the rest of you, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't done the wavy hand thing, have we? Let's quickly get back. Oh, God. Can we just quickly do the wavy hand thing so that I've got a thumbnail for it?
Yeah, big smile.
Thank you. All right, we'll see you next week. Take it easy. Bye. Bye for now.